Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to another Redemption Time Bible broadcast. What a great privilege it is for me to be here this morning, and a great blessing, and I appreciate everybody that listens to the broadcast. I'd like to start off today. I first give you my church announcements, as we usually do. There at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville, Tennessee, Brother Rick Smeltzer is our pastor. And we begin our Sunday morning service at 9:45 for Sunday school, 10:45 for morning worship, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday evening at 7. We do invite you to come and be in any of these services that you could. I know God will richly bless you for doing so. And then I'd like to also continue to announce the Foothills Baptist Camp Meeting that will be taking place there on the grounds of the church at 1585 Mount Tabor Road. And we will have that service every night at 7 o'clock. There will be special singers every night. And I'm not sure which nights will be who, but the singing will be done by the Rogers family, the Watson brothers, AG family, Heavenly Heirs, and the Joy Heirs. And this will be, I guess, the last time the Joy Heirs do perform for us. They have been in our camp meeting every year, and they are retiring at the end of this year. So if you want to hear the Joy Heirs, be there. And they usually finish that. I see there are five different groups, so they'll probably be there, I would say, on Friday night. I will have more information on that before the time gets here. Let me give you our preacher lineup. Now, we actually kicked that camp meeting off on the 15th, which is Sunday, on our Sunday morning service at 11. Now, I know if you have a home church, we're not asking you to leave your home church to come to that. But beginning on the 16th, on a Monday, and running through to the 20th, Friday, 7 o'clock each night, under the tent there on the grounds, on the I'll give you the preacher lineup. On the 6th, we usually have two a night. On the 16th, that will be Richard Kleinert and Mark Goodson. On the 17th, it will be Chad Udy and Leonard Fletcher. And then it looks like on the 18th, it will be the only one I have is Leonard Fletcher, and I do believe that they will have another one that's not on here yet. And then on the 19th, it will be Brother Ricky Gravely and Leonard Fletcher. And then on the 20th, Friday, closing us out, will be Gary Crisp and Chris Meltzer. And so we invite you to come and be in this camp meeting and enjoy the blessings of God with us. We will be announcing these again, and I'll get the names. I'll try to get the dates of the different singers, what night they'll be singing, and get a definite on that 18th if it's not as I said. So we do thank you for being here this morning. Trust that the Lord will bless you for being here, and ask you to join us each week at this time. So now we're going to have another song, and then we will be back with today's message.
The signs of time tell us the end is drawing near. War and strife going on, it's causing men to fear. But don't lose hope, for soon we will be gone. When Gabriel sounds the call, lift your head up high, for we are going home.
Oh, what a day, a glorious day, when we behold the King of Kings. We will cast our crowns and bow before His feet.
Deborah Perry and Jaden's call singing What a Day. But that's a wonderful song, and yes, what a great and wonderful day it'll be for the child of God when the Lord steps out on the portals of glory and tells the angels, sound that trumpet and bring my children home. I believe that that day is close. I believe that we're right on the very edge, looking over into that day. We talk about the last days, friend. We're in the last days of the last days. If you know anything about this Bible and prophecy, you know that you watch Israel to know what God's doing. And we see today that just as the Bible has predicted there in Revelation, the entire world's going to turn against them, and that we're seeing that happen. We're seeing that unfold before our very eyes. Every day, it's not going to be long, friend. We don't have too much longer to get the message out or to get our loved ones in. And so keep this in mind as we go day to day. And, you know, we could actually shout we've won the victory today because the victory's already won. We just got to wait until it comes to fruition. This crowd that's jumping on Israel and is turning against them, they don't realize that one day they'll stand before God and they'll be judged for that. It's a sad thing, I guess, that those nations over there that hate them don't believe our Bible because they have just alienated themselves from God by being so hard and so much hatred against Israel. But that's just the way it is. But I'm glad today that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be saved. We can look forward to that day. And whatever happens, we'll be okay because we are in His care. Well, let's have a quick word of prayer and then we'll get into today's message. Still continuing our series about the crossing at Gilgal. Our Father, we do thank You for the day and for the opportunity to be here and for the many blessings that You've sent our way. Thank You most of all for the Lord Jesus that went to the cross yonder and died in our place that we could be saved and could be called a child of God and could come to live with You one day and can shout the victory that is in the blood of Jesus Christ that conquered all of death, hell, and the grave. Satan and all of his demons were put into chains that day as far as their ability. But Lord, I know that they're still active in the world today, and in this day we're living in, they're getting more active. But I do know, Lord, that there's coming a time soon. All of this is going to cease, and You're going to show the world the victory that You won there on Calvary that day. Father, I pray for those today who are sick and suffering, need a help. Lord, I pray You'd touch them and give them some good days. Give them some days of without pain. And Lord, just help them cure those, Lord, heal those that You see fit, and comfort those that must go. I pray, Lord, to the families of those who have lost loved ones, I pray that You'll comfort them. Lord, I do pray today, most of all, for those that are lost, don't know You as a free parting of sin, that, Lord, somehow today this broadcast might reach their heart, cause them to understand that they need a Savior. Turn and be saved before it is too late. Lord, we pray that all that You do today, we'll thank You, and we'll praise You, and we'll give You the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week we were talking about the word Gilgal means rolling, and it does refer a lot to the rolling of Jordan at that particular location, but it also was significant to the children of Israel because they were now rolling forward, going forward for God, in the mission to conquer this land that had been promised them. And so we were looking at that last week, how that this was a rolling over resistance. And we talked about how that God gave Joshua the plan for taking Jericho. And we do know that that did happen. We know that when we read about it, it said here in chapter 6, verse 15, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city about after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, and Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all they that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And then we do know that in verse 20 it says, When the people shouted, when the priests blew with the trumpets, it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox, sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. Now, this was not something they did on their own. God had told them to do that. Jericho was a wicked place. Jericho was not a friend of God. I'm afraid, my friend, that so many times we're going to find that there are so many ways that people are enemies of God today. And we're going to find that one day they're going to pay the price for that. But not only was it a remembrance to the resistance, it was being over, rolling over resistance, but it's a memorial that we should not resist impatience. Now, we cannot get ahead of God's plan. When they first came out of Jordan, they just come through the river. As we read, this was the very beginning of this series. And they set up their camp at Gilgal. I'm sure that they were anxious to get on with the conquest of the country, as God had showed them was going to happen. And yet they could not get ahead of God's plan. They did not come straight up out of the Jordan and march straight on to Jericho and waited. But they stopped and waited for instruction. Now, we do know that God told them to go up once for 6 days, to go once around the city. And then on the 7th day, they would go 7 times around the city, blow the trumpet, shout, and the wall came down. So, you know, we think about getting ahead of God. I'm sure that maybe when this plan was revealed, many of them there in the ranks and files might have been thinking this way. Why don't we just go up and march around 7 times today and be done with it? Why don't we go up? Maybe another way is to go a couple of times a day for 3 days, and then the next day be the 7th day and be done with it. But you know what? There were not the things that wasn't the way God wanted it to be done. They had to realize that there were things that needed to be done first. Now, I don't know why God laid that plan out as he did. He had a reason. And it may simply have been a test to the children of Israel and to Joshua to see if they would be patient and if they would stay within his plan and go ahead with the way that he had laid it out. And there were some things that had to be done. And we've already talked about some of those things. They had to go through the ritual of circumcision in order to be in obedience to God's word from way back years before that he'd laid out. And so they had done that, and they had prepared themselves and were now ready, waiting on God to give the plan. And God did that, and then they began to carry that plan out. But they did not get ahead of God, and you and I must wait, and we must follow God's plan. God's plan of salvation is that the gospel be preached around the world, and wherever the gospel is preached, whosoever will hear that gospel and respond to it will be saved. That's not my plan. That's not your plan. And we cannot rush that. I have seen people that would try to drag people to the altar once in a service. And I've never seen that really do any good. I've never seen anybody that got drugged to the altar that really ever stayed true to God or ever really gave a testimony that they were saved under that. You see, God, we can't get ahead of God. We got to wait and let His Spirit work. If the Holy Ghost does not convict a person and bring them to Christ, we cannot get ahead of that. We cannot do that on our own. We have to let God carry it out. That was His plan. Preach the gospel. We can't shortcut that. There's no other way that a man can be saved other than through faith in the shed blood, finished work, death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in that and that alone is all that will save a person. And then there are things that they had to be done. First of all, you need to realize the journey is not impossible, though it may seem like it. Now, when they looked at that wall and saw how thick it was and how high it was, they must have thought, we will never, ever be able to get into that city. But you know what? Joshua kept them going, and they kept doing that march every day, just like just like God had said, and they followed the plan, and they did not think that impossible that this was going to work, though to the human eye it did not seem possible. But we shall not look at what we can see with the human eye. We must look with the eye of faith to believe that these things can happen through the power of God. Just like that incident of a person being saved. We might know somebody that you would be the last one in the world you would think would ever be saved. And yet, if we stay with God's plan, if they get the gospel, if they hear the gospel, if God deals with that heart, anybody can be saved. Anybody. Then, I thought about this. What if they had stopped after six rounds on that seventh day? They told them, they were told to go seven times on the seventh day. There were seven trumpets. And if you do all of the sevens that were there on that day, you'll find that it all totals up to 49. Now, if you look back into the old law, you'll find that there was something significant about the number 49. In 49 years was seven Sabbaths. It was considered the year of Jubilee. And that was the year that debts were forgiven. If a man had indentured himself to someone as a slave to pay a debt, that was the day that the debt was considered paid. No matter if he had served all of his time or not, on the day of Jubilee, the 49th year, every 49th year, now man might not have indentured himself but a year before that, but on that 49th year, since the last Jubilee, he was to be set free. And so the land that had been taken was to go back to the rightful owner. It was a day of Jubilee. It was a day of freedom. It was a day of release. And I say to you that that is the day that's equivalent today to the day that a man is saved, when all things are forgiven him and all things are done away with in the past. And when we're saved, we do get that freedom. We get departed from our sins. And if we have been slaves to sin, and we are forgiven on that day, and these sins are washed away and removed from us. And then one other thing I'd like to point out is that when they blew those trumpets, they blew the horns of a ram's trumpets. It was a trumpet that was made from the horn of a ram. Now, they had other trumpets. There was another trumpet that they had, and it was a trumpet made of brass. It's much like the ones we have today. And that brass trumpet was made for soundings of war. It would carry a long ways, and they knew the sound of the trumpet that was for war and for attacks and for retreats or whatever. But this was not the trumpet that they blew that day. They blew the trumpet that was made of the ram's horn. And the difference is this. The ram's horn is, that word trumpet that's used for that is actually jubilee. And it was the horn that was blown on the 49th year indicating jubilee. It was the horn that was blown for celebrations rather than war. And so what is God saying? He is saying, blow the trumpet because the victory has already been won. I believe with all my heart that when the angel steps out to call the church home, the rapture of the church occurs. We talked about that there's going to be the sound of a trumpet. I believe it'll be the sound of that ram's horn. I believe it'll be the sound of jubilee. It'll be the day that the dead are released from the state of death, and their bodies will be resurrected, and they will have a glorified body that will magnify the Lord Jesus Christ and will be a reflection of Him and will be like Him. And there we will go to be with Him. The day of freedom from this flesh, and the day of freedom from this world, and freedom from sin and the presence of sin. Freedom from all the things that would hinder us from praising and worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was approximately 2.8 miles around Jericho. An unencumbered, a healthy person could walk it in about an hour. And so we have to realize it's not impossible, though it might seem like it. Friend, if you've been praying for somebody a long time, wanting them to be saved, don't give up. If you've been wanting to do something for the Lord for a long time and you don't know what, and you're not getting the leadership you want, don't give up. Keep going. Realize that the journey will be complete one day, that you will be led in the right direction. And if we just keep going for God, after a while we'll realize the goal. Now, I don't know. I've said so many times that I think that we're living in the very last days of the last days, and I do believe that with all my heart. I believe that in my lifetime. I'm 80 years old, and I still believe that I have a good chance of seeing the rapture before I die, unless something happens right away. And we don't know that. But either way, I'll be with the Lord either way. But I do believe that it's that close. I think that the things we're seeing today, the things that have rapidly occurred over just even in the last year, tells me that things have escalated, things have speeded up, things are going fast, and things are coming to pass rapidly. And I believe that from here to the end, it'll continue to be that way. Friend, as we close out this broadcast, as I usually do, I just want to make a plea to you today that if you know someone that's not saved, share with them the gospel. Try to have them to understand their need of a Savior, and to bring them to an understanding of what it means to be saved and what it takes to be saved, simply giving up on your own efforts and just looking to God, realizing that He will save anyone that comes to Him and will accept His salvation through faith. Just believe what He said. Just believe that He lived, that He died, that He was buried, that He was resurrected, and that He did that for you. That is hard to believe sometimes. It's hard to believe that someone could love us that much. And the farther I go, the more I understand how hard it must have been. But God did it. Jesus did it. They both loved me. And as unlovable as I was and am, they still loved me, and they still love me now. And friend, it'd be the same way with you. There may not be another person in this world cares anything about you, but you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and he will love you. He will take you in. He will care for you and he will be your savior. He'll be your friend, your closest friend. When there's no one else around, he'll be around. When there's no one else to listen, he'll listen. When no one else can help, he can help. When no one else can comfort, he can comfort. Friend, he loves you. God loves you. I love you. People at Maryville Baptist Tabernacle love you. And they wish to convey to you their love. And they have this camp meeting that we may share this love. And we invite you to come and be in that. Invite you to listen to the broadcast. Come to any of our services that you would. If you need the Lord, you could call me at 865-776-5872. I'll be happy to talk with you. I'll be happy to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we close the broadcast out, may the Lord bless you and keep you. If you're not saved, friend, I pray that you will just get somewhere along with God, humble your heart, ask him to save you.